fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. I'm here again today with Dr. Mary Healy. Dr. Healy's been with us all week. We've been talking about a very sensitive but very important topic. What does the Bible say about homosexual behavior? If you've had a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs from this week are archived there. You can listen to them on the computer, download them, and put them on your iPod, listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. And listen to Dr. Healy. She's a professor of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, and she's a member of the Pontifical Biblical Commission, advising the Holy Father on issues from the Bible. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Well, friends, we're talking about this sensitive topic in a year of mercy. And this is the year of mercy, of when all of us are meant to go deeper into the mercy of God. And I was just thinking how much, when we're talking about the commandments of God, the moral law, and the Lord calling us to live a different way of life, really at the heart of it, God is calling all of us to be able to acknowledge the true condition of our heart and our behavior when it's inconsistent with God's. The heart of mercy is forgiveness. We were yet sinners, Scripture says, Christ died for us. That's the heart of God's mercy. God comes to us to forgive us. But he can't forgive us if we're not going to acknowledge what behavior in our life is inconsistent with what he's called us to be. So I think, Dr. Healy, that's exactly what we've been talking about all week, is really God's word of mercy, yeah. His truth that's freeing and healing for us.
Yes. And if you look through the Gospels, you see how Jesus welcomed people of every sort, every socioeconomic bracket, every place on the spectrum, from living a godly, devout life, yeah, to living in sin. He's a friend of sinners.
Yeah.
Yesterday we talked about the adulterous woman and how he publicly refused to condemn her and, in fact, convicted her own accusers of their sin. But can that passage be used to say that Jesus was simply accepting of any sinful lifestyle? No, of course not. He ends by telling the woman, go and sin no more, which is a way of saying, go and be free. I want you to be free of this idol of sexual pleasure that led you into this sinful relationship. And at another point, when the religious leaders are scandalized by the people that Jesus hangs out with, because as a rabbi, he should be hanging out with the godly people, but instead, yeah, he's now with tax collectors and prostitutes, his answer is to say that he's a doctor. He says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, which actually means nobody, because nobody is perfectly righteous. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so his mission is not only to welcome all and embrace all, which he does, but to heal all, to heal of the deepest sickness, which is sin,
yeah,
our alienation from God. And so, you know, to hold that Jesus only tolerated and accepted and welcomed people would be giving a distorted picture, because it's only half the picture. He welcomed them all so that he could then heal them and lead them into wholeness, which is holiness. And that's what he wants to do for all of us as well. So are we as a church imitating Jesus?
Yeah.
Are we imitating him in his love, his welcome, his warm embrace of those living in lifestyles far from God? Are we imitating him in calling people to holiness, call people to conversion? If we are imitating him in only one of those ways but not both, we're not really imitating Jesus.
Yeah. I know we were talking earlier about some of St. Paul's teaching in the New Testament. We've talked a lot about some of the things Jesus said, teaching the Old Testament as well. Let's talk a little bit about Romans 1 and some of those other key passages that are relevant for this subject.
Yes. Romans 1 is one of the more difficult passages in the whole area of homosexual conduct, because there's a very strong judgment, God's judgment expressed on homosexual conduct. But what we need to keep in mind when we read Romans 1 is that's not by a long shot the only conduct that St. Paul condemns. He basically is describing a society-wide decline, moral decline, that is all rooted in a rejection of God, a suppression of the truth about God. Human beings want to go their own way, and so they become idolaters. They worship false gods. They refuse to accept the truth that even creation reveals about the Creator God who created us and has authority over our lives. And therefore, because of that, God gives them up. And three times St. Paul says God gave them up. And only one of those times does he talk about homosexual conduct. He first talks about God giving people up to dishonorable sexual passions. So he's talking about adultery. He's talking about sex outside of marriage. He's talking about prostitution. And so the idea that this passage is only about homosexual conduct and everybody else is kind of let off the hook is absolutely false.
Yeah,
absolutely false. You know, as if people who struggle with same-sex attraction are somehow in a category all by themselves. No way. We all have disordered desires. And if we pursue those desires and we suppress the truth about God, this is the way society goes. And so the second step that Paul talks about is homosexual conduct and the demeaning and degrading behavior that, that leads into. And then the third step is a kind of loss of humanity and becoming bound up by one's rage, by pride, by self-centeredness, inability to have real meaningful relationships, and a whole kind of societal degenerate condition.
Here, can I just read a little bit of that passage? It's going to fill in what you're saying. So Paul talks about it again around Romans 18 and following about that human beings refuse to acknowledge God and give him thanks. Therefore, they suppress the truth that God is God, that God is the source of reality. And when we suppress that truth, it has consequences. And it's a form of idolatry to suppress that truth. And it's the relationship between worship and conduct, cult and conduct, worship and behaviors is also expressed here. But here in verse 26, he'll say, "For this reason, God gave them up, as you were saying, to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and receiving in their own bodies the due penalty for their error." So that's the particular passage that talks about a consequence of being given up to your passions is homosexual behavior being part of that expression. But then the next section, verse 28 says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God as God, he gave them up to a base mind and to improper conduct. They were filled with all manner of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity. They are gossips and slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless." So there's a whole set of vices that get released when we refuse to acknowledge God as God. I think that's one of the things we're seeing in the world today, in our country today.
Yeah.
And it's not the fault of homosexuals. It's the reality of the human heart.
It's the
and
reality of the human.
All kinds of expressions are being released when we refuse to accept God's reality and live in God's plan and purpose has direct consequences in how we live. So,
and of course, Paul is not saying that this will happen with every given individual.
Right.
He's talking about society. He's saying that when a society as a whole turns away from God and decides to do whatever it wants, it's essentially eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is saying, I'll do whatever I want, and I'll decide whether it's good or evil.
Right.
God's not going to tell me what to do.
Right.
Then society as a whole falls into this kind of vice, this kind of loss of humanity. And I think you're right. We are seeing these effects in culture around us, which as a culture in many ways has rejected God.
I mean, I think one of those fundamental lies that's so present now, it's kind of in the language of the culture, is my body is my own. No, not really. Your body belongs to God. You belong to God. You belong to another. And so Paul will say in Romans 12, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Offer it holy and acceptable. Offer your body for what's pleasing to God, Paul says. This is the new way of life you're being called to in following Jesus. And our culture says, no, I'll do with my body what I want to do with my body. I'm the master mm-hmm. of my own. This is my property. This is me. And no one's going to tell me what I can or cannot do with my body.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's not a Christian mind. It's a darkened mind.
Right. And the irony is that when a person chooses to go that route, they dishonor their own bodies. They lead themselves into more and more self-destructive and degrading, demeaning conduct. And so what Paul is revealing here and in 1 Corinthians 6 and other places is the inconceivable dignity of the human body. It's made to be a temple. The human body is made to be a living temple of God. God is present within us if we have embraced his will. He's alive within us. If we believe in Christ and we're living in accord with Christ, God himself is present within us. It's a dignity and a holiness beyond what we can imagine.
And we'll only find happiness and reach fulfillment when we, by God's grace, are doing what pleases him.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And we know for sure when we're living in a way that's not pleasing to God, it's going to affect
miserable.
Us profoundly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we just have a few minutes left. I wish we had weeks we could talk about this, but Mary, this is really radical. How is it possible to live this way? And
it's
isn't it
really
too much of a burden to heap on people? It's totally unrealistic. And everyone's going to be doomed to happiness if we follow this stuff.
It's more radical than even you or I realize,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
The saints are the ones who show us what Christian life really is. They show us normal Christian life
right.
because they're the most radical of all. And of course, it is impossible humanly. It's possible by the Holy Spirit. We're enabled to live something that's beyond human capabilities by the Holy Spirit, the love of God poured into our hearts. And it's not an abstract concept. It's experiencing the love of Abba, Father, for each one of us, for me personally, that is an ocean of love in which I am immersed. It's by knowing that in my knower, in the core of my being, that I can embrace who I am as a man or woman created in God's image, and that I can live in a way that's pleasing to God, because I'm in him and he's in me and yeah. he loves me and he knows me perfectly. And we can walk in the Spirit. We can walk in a supernatural way. It's always been needed through the history of the church, but I think it's more needed than ever in our time. Yeah. People need to see Christians walking around with smiles on our faces, not all the time, but
right.
with a joy in our heart, with an ability to love, with a freedom in friendships, in marriage relationship, and in our relationship with God, that bears witness, he's in us. He's alive. He's real.
Amen. Mary, thank you for being with us this week, and I hope to have you back again soon. You bring so much to the program and to our listeners, and if you'd like to know more about what Dr. Healy is doing or some of the books she's written, you could go to Amazon. Just type in her name, Mary Healy, and her biblical commentaries, book on healing. And then this booklet you're writing on the subject is going to be coming out in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be available. So write in. Tell us what you think about the program this week. Give us your thoughts. Give us your perspective. Just you can reach me at pherbeck@renewalministries.net. But friends, until next week, this is Peter Herbeck and Dr. Mary Healy saying, Jesus Christ has died for each one of us, so that he can extend his mercy to us, so we can live in the freedom and the joy of the sons and daughters of God. Receive that and walk in it today. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.